Woo. Amen. How many of you love him, right? And you love him because he first loved you. And he doesn't have to prove that love to me. It's just amazing what he did on the cross. I mean, that in itself, that he did it just for me. Because I take it personal. I know he did it for you too, but he did it for me. And that's what a personal relationship is. And this morning, we're going to look to the resurrection. And we're going to be going through John chapter 20. If you want, you can. I'm sorry, John chapter 19, 20. Yeah, I'm right. 20. Let me put my glasses on. 20. And you know what? This morning, I want to do something different. I was praying about, Lord, you know, one thing I don't like to do is I don't like to be repetitious when we do certain topicals or certain holidays. Sometimes I get in them like, Lord, it feels like repetition. I'm going to be talking about the same thing, which is awesome. It never gets old. It'll never die. It always will be fresh, wind and fire, and it always will be God's word. This morning, I wanted to do something different, and it started when a couple of weeks ago, I was watching the news, and I saw on how in Rome, you might have seen this, where a lot of Christians and Catholics, they were kneeling and felt that they were going to climb the stairs in which they felt Jesus climbed to stand before his accusers. And the blood of Jesus were on their steps. And I was watching this. And you know, it's easy to judge when you see these things. And I thought, wait a minute. They're not worshiping the stairs. What they're worshiping is Jesus. And that was their personal worship of Jesus. And I thought, wow, what would I have done if I saw the very steps or the very area where Jesus was standing? How would that affect me? What would I have done? I probably would have fallen to the ground and get as close to the ground where his feet were, as close as possible, with my face to touching the ground and worshiping him. And I thought, there's where the eyewitnesses came in. The eyewitness, see, we all had an eyewitness of Christ in our own personal life. Remember the first time when you accepted the Lord, you became an eyewitness of Jesus changing your life. You might not have been an eyewitness of him on the cross, but you were an eyewitness of him coming into your life. No difference to me. My life was changed. We are eyewitnesses. And when I saw them doing that, climbing on the stairs, they were eyewitnesses of their relationship and their worship of Christ. And I said, Lord, I want it to be special this morning. Instead of coming in and say, okay, verse 1 said this, verse 2, we get verse, you know. I thought, you have become eyewitnesses, and we're just going to read the account of the resurrection, and then you are going to be that eyewitness and try to focus on what Jesus did. And I like to always try to picture myself there where he was, and try to make it very personal. And so the Lord spoke, you know, I felt the Lord speaking to me and said, okay, how do I want to do this, Lord? And he said, the best worship corporally is get the people involved. And so I asked, I prayed about and asked certain individuals that will come up and that are going to read certain passages in this account of Jesus. And then I pray, okay, Lord, how can we incorporate the worship, the worship team together? And I text Dominic. I told Dominic, hey, I feel like the Lord's leading me to do this, and I want you to pray about certain worship songs that will go with the passages that are being read. And so this morning you're going to be an eyewitness of this, and you're going to have that personal worship and that personal hearing of the resurrection of Christ. You're not going to get an in-depth study. You're going to get a personal time. You're going to have that personal time with the Lord. And reflect on what he did. Remember, it started at the cross. Remember, don't ever forget that he was born to die. That's why he was born, to die. And when he accomplished at the cross, when he said it was finished, that means it was all done. No longer that he was going to be held by the hands of men. And our salvation was secure in what he did. So this morning, I want you to really focus on what is being read. Follow along as we go through the scriptures. And then let the Holy Spirit lead you in worshiping as we worship the Lord. And then from there, we're going to go into communion. And then you will spend your time with your families. Amen. So, praise God. Let's pray. And then I'll have our first brother come up. Father God, we do thank you. And again, what a privilege and honor to be an eyewitness, Lord. When I think of being an eyewitness, I personally, actively was a witness of you in my life and the work that you accomplished at the cross and what you're doing today. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, and we are thankful for what you did. And we are excited that you rose from the dead. And Paul said, if this life alone we have Jesus Christ, then we are men most miserable. But thank you that you did resurrect. And you tell us in Ephesians that says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us? That same power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead, that we too will be raised from the dead. And we know that the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. And so, Lord, as we hear the account of the resurrection, I pray that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And may we be that eyewitness to your resurrection in our resurrected life, we becoming born again, we becoming transformed by the renewing of our minds. And may we worship you in spirit and truth. And we give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been removed away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away our Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter went out and the other disciples and went over and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciples outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stooped down and looked, and he stooped down and looked in and saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, followed, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the other linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciples who came to the tomb first went in and also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. I'm very nervous when I read in front of people, so please forgive me on that. Okay. It's on you. I got to get used to it.
Me too.
Thank you.
was finished on that day. Death was beaten, all darkness was slain. All his passion poured out like rain upon the earth.
3 days buried.
And 3 days buried, they came to mourn. The stone was rolled away, the veil was torn, and all his passion poured out like rain upon the earth. And hallelujah, he has conquered death. And we cry holy, he reigns in all the earth. And hallelujah, he has conquered death.
Stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. My heart.
same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained."
Verse 24, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." And then he said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, Papa John, I feel you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me and you have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Even though we sang it already, let's sing it again.
The nails in your hands, the nail in your feet, they tell me how much you love me. The thorns on your brow, they tell me how you bore so much pain to love. Till the heavens pass away, all your scars still remain, and forever they will say just how much you love me. So I want to say forever.
Verse 30. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Wasn't that awesome? You know, we read about the... Go ahead, you can give it. Give it up. Give it up for him. Yeah. When you think about all the signs, and we're not talking the miracles, we're talking certain signs that Jesus did. They're amazing. I mean, they're hard to comprehend in the human mind or the human thought. But then he says here in John chapter 20, he said that Jesus did many other signs. I wish they would have filled them in the book and we could have read them. But it just tells us that John didn't get everything that Jesus did within his gospel. There were so many that it was impossible to record and write them in. Just too many of them. All that Jesus said and all that he did. We just got what was written here. They're so amazing. And in verse John 21, 25, in fact, John said that. He said, there were also so many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that were written. Amen. So many other things that he did. And what John did write about here about Jesus, and especially about his death and about his resurrection that he went through, it was written for what purpose? So that we would believe in that Jesus is the Christ. And even though there were many other signs, John, he just presents to us the works that Jesus did here, and the purpose is so that they would give us understanding and bring us to a faith in Christ, bring us into this personal relationship that we have with Jesus. That's why it's important to read the Word of God. It shows us that He is the Messiah. He is God. And so when it really comes down to it, it's not really about the signs that he was talking about. It's all about Jesus. It's about Jesus, guys. And the works and the signs that he did, those things that he did, they are there to reveal us that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. So that we may believe on him. We can believe in his resurrection that we wouldn't doubt. How can anybody doubt? I think the biggest miracle of all that Jesus did was to change life. And you won't read within the scriptures where it tells us anywhere that it tells us to doubt. Nowhere. Don't doubt what Jesus did and said. They were written so that we may believe. And when you think about the signs that Jesus did, we're talking about, remember when he turned the water into wine in John chapter 2, when he healed the nobleman's son in John chapter 4, he always mentioned that this was a sign. John chapter 5, he tells us about the healing that he did at the pool of Bethsaida. John chapter 6, when he fed the 5,000. Also in 6, where he walked on water. Chapter 9, the healing of the man born blind. And then in chapter 11, Lazarus, when he was raised from the dead. And I'm not talking about all the miracles that he did. These are just what he mentioned were signs. He did many other miracles. But I think, the greatest sign that Jesus, or even miracle that Jesus did, was his death and his resurrection. And believing that he rose from the dead, we will have eternal life in his name. I can't stop thinking about when Paul said, if in this life alone we believe in Christ, then we are men most miserable. But yet he goes on, he says, at the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. But guys, we have eternal life in his name. We have a life that transforms us into his image. It's called being born again through the power of his name and through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, I love what Jesus said to his disciples after he sent them out in pairs. And they came back and they were so excited about what God did through them and how they were healing people, how they were casting out demons and this great work. They were just so pumped up and excited. And Jesus said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that even the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So this morning, if anything, guys, rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Right? So as we take communion, remember the story that you just heard. And remember that the greatest miracle or the greatest sign of all is a changed life. And at the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Amen? Amen. Let's worship and let's prepare for communion.
Forever He
In verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. And do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastised by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let them eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come." Father, we do thank you this morning again. What a privilege and an honor it is to come together in communion, Lord, in koinonia, sweet koinonia fellowship. And Lord, we long and we look and we wait for that day when we will take communion with you and with all the saints. Can't even fathom all the heavenly hosts and everyone in Christ together to do communion. That's going to be a great serving of juice and bread, Lord. It's going to be amazing. And yet with you, it is nothing. But you said you will not do it until you do it again with all of us. And so we thank you, Jesus, that you are risen, that you are well and alive, that God is still on the throne, the gospel is still being preached, and people are still getting saved. So as we take communion, bless it, Lord, and may we do it in remembrance not only of your death, but of your resurrection. Amen. And we thank you, Lord, and we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's partake. Woo. Praise God, he is risen. So I want to encourage you guys, be like the shepherds when they were told that unto them a child is born. They went and they went to see Jesus. They were eyewitnesses of the baby in the manger. And they couldn't contain it. And what did they do after that? They went and they spread it throughout the whole land. Go out and share the resurrection with others. Be the same way. Be excited that he has risen, and therefore one day we too will rise. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you and happy resurrection.